friends, and welcome to another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, October the 4th. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you God's goodness today. As always, I thank you for being present with me as we break open God's Word this week, looking to this coming weekend's readings for the 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Those numbers are getting up there, which means we are late in the church year. As you know, gosh, we're in October now, and so just a little over a month and a half away, we will reach the culmination and the end of our liturgical year and begin another. Okay, so we are going to continue through listening to Mark's Gospel. We're going to listen to a significant portion of Mark's Gospel today, and we're going to combine that with a story that all of you very well know. Lots of things to break open within what we hear today, so I'm going to move right to it. As always, brothers and sisters, as we prepare to open God's Word, I invite you to open yourself, however you do that, to open your spirit, to open your heart, to open your mind, to open your very being, that you may receive God's Word well, and that that Word may find a home within you in which to live and grow and become what it needs to within your life and within mine. So again, however you do that, invite you to do that at this time. And let's break open God's Word together, shall we? So for those who like to read along, not just auditory learners, but visual learners, we're going to read out of Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 to 24. Again, very famous story. And then we are going to read out of Mark chapter 10, verses 2 to 16. So a fairly lengthy gospel today as well. Let's hear God's word. A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a suitable partner for him." So the Lord God formed out of the ground various wild animals and various birds of the air. And he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called each of them would be its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, all the birds of the air, and all the wild animals, but none proved to be the suitable partner for the man. So the Lord God cast a deep sleep on the man. And while he was asleep, he took out one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. The Lord God then built up into a woman the rib that he had taken from the man. When he brought her to the man said, "This one at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of her man this one has been taken. And that is why a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife, and the two of them become one flesh." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, as I've mentioned, that's a very familiar story for all of us there. But if there was something there, and of course, that's the danger, right? We are so familiar with something, we don't see it anew. But if in hearing this word today, you heard something new, I invite you, sit with that. Allow the word of God to, again, form within you in whatever way that needs to be. Again, just how that word was received, let it, just chew on it, let it become what it needs to, okay? A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The Pharisees approached Jesus and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. He said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" They replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." But Jesus told them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate. In the house, the disciples again questioned Jesus about this. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And people were bringing children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he became indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." Then he embraced them and blessed them, placing his hands upon them. My friends, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So, my friends, there is so much here to unpack. I'm not even going to get to the last little segment about the children, and that alone there's so much there too. Okay, let's go back to the first reading. Now, I'm going to explain a little history here, context, and I think it's important. I'm not trying to bore you and just throw facts out there. Now, this is Genesis chapter 2, which means this is the second creation story. I'm going to go over the first. They were written by different writers at different times with different points. Now, you may be saying, "Joe, which one is true?" And of course, the answer is both. And you're going to see why. The first creation story, which actually was probably the second written much later, is the one that we're very familiar with. We hear every Easter Vigil, if you've ever gone to that Mass. And that is how God creates in 7 days. You know, on the first day, God said, "Let there be light." And on the second day, you know, dividing the waters and things like that all the way through. Until ultimately, on the penultimate day, on the sixth day, God creates humanity. And after creating some of the other creatures, God creates humanity and says, "Let us create them in our image, male and female. We will create them." And so the idea being here that humanity, you and I, and we could argue all of creation, but that's for another day, is imbued with the Spirit of God. We are created in the image and likeness of God. And brothers and sisters, we carry that image within us, and we carry that, I've talked about it many times, that mission there. Therefore, we are co-creators with God. We carry God's very being within us, and therefore continue the act of creating and creation within the world. And brothers and sisters, that is a truth that I will live and die on. And so when we ask, is that true? Of course it is. Now, did it happen in 6 days like that? No, I think it's a parable. It's a myth in the best sense of those words, that it carries a truth. And see, my dogs are agreeing with everything I'm saying here. So this happens every time. When Renee leaves, our dogs howl and bark, and this is just what you're going to hear. I can't avoid it. So I gotta lean into it. Bless them. Okay, so that's first creation story. Second creation story is probably the older of the two, written by a different writer, and it has a whole different point also, which is true, by the way. So the earth is a formless wasteland, basically, in the second creation story. There's the four rivers that run out of it, and the garden that is right there in those four rivers. And the first thing God does in the second creation story is, you know, not any of the separation of light or anything like that. He creates the man, Adam, Adam, A-D-A-M-A-H. It's of the earthy one, because God takes the clay of the earth, right, and breathes life into us, which, of course, is true as well. And all of this story essentially is then God creating creation, all these creatures, bringing them to the man names them, therefore not claiming dominion over that. Don't hear that in a domination way. Basically naming them and claiming a responsibility that we are responsible for this garden, this creation. And but none proved to be a suitable partner for the man until God puts a sleep over the earthy one, this Adam, and takes part of his flesh, his bone out, creates the woman, breathes life within her, brings her to him, and he has his aha moment. He says, oh, this one at last is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. This is the one that I've been waiting for and that I cling to, and that oneness there with between the two in this friendship, in this partnership, in this union, right? Okay. They are one flesh, right? And that's what Jesus refers to at the end of the second creation story. Why do I say all this? Because, you know, Jesus was asked, essentially, and we all know it. I may reference the wrong thing. You know, what is the greatest commandment? He says, you know, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? And the second is like it, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Essentially, Jesus takes two different parts of the law, the Pentateuch, the first five books, and he takes one from one book, one from another, and combines them and says, this is the heart of the law. Our love of God, our oneness with God, and our oneness with, our neighbor, which is not just humanity, but it is all of creation, and our oneness with ourself, ultimately. You know, we love our neighbor only to the extent that we can love ourselves. All right, that's a lot of bedrock, a lot of foundation for these readings. That essentially, brothers and sisters, we are created for relationship. First and foremost with God, secondarily, I would argue, with ourselves, because we cannot love well until and unless we know who we are. And out of that space, then I'm not loving you, quote unquote, out of my neediness or out of my dysfunction or out of my blind spots or out of all this junk that's within me. I'm not loving you for what you can give me or what I need or where I want to go or manipulating. I'm loving you because I know who I am and I know what I'm about. And therefore, I can really give that to you in love. And therefore, that's why I would put creation as the third in that. And we cannot love ourselves without first and foremost knowing who we are as children of God, which is why I would put it in that order, God, ourselves, and creation. Okay, so what does that have to do with these readings? And I'm trying to go fast because there's so much here. Because, okay, the first reading, I think, essentially brings us to that spot. That is for what we are made, and we cannot separate ourselves from any of that, because to the extent that we do, we are cutting off our arm. We're cutting off a limb. We're cutting off our very lifeblood, right? And so that's why when in the gospel, Jesus says, and I know this looks narrowly like, is this about marriage? And on one sense, of course it is, because that is a prime, capital P, capital R, prime relationship in our life. But it is not the only one. Essentially, the Pharisees are testing him and say, can we separate ourselves from others? Can we separate ourselves? And God is saying, you know, Moses, because they're testing him, and he says, what did Moses say? Moses said, you can write a bill of decree and a person can divorce their wife. You know, and again, it was a man divorcing his wife because men held all the power at the time. And Jesus says, listen, Moses only did that out of the hardness of your hearts. Like, Moses wasn't doing it to say, this is a moral good. He's doing it because he's like, oh, you darn people are looking for a loophole. You're looking for an escape clause. And I'll give you one, but it's not the essential way. It's not for what that which we are made, brothers and sisters. And Jesus doesn't go back then just to Moses, who again was the prime person in Hebrew law and understanding in their very being as a people. He goes all the way back to the creation stories and say, God created us for this relationship. Essentially, to sever that would be to sever our very being. Right? So, brothers and sisters, what is this about? Let me say this again. We are created in the image and likeness of God. We carry the very being of God within us. To the extent that we separate ourselves from God. You know, that famous Time magazine 50-ish years ago, 60-ish years ago, that came out in 64 or 65, Is God Dead? You know, using Nietzsche's parable as well, his story. And that took hold, Is God Dead? Like, you know, God caught a cold up in the kingdom and just keeled over one day. I mean, essentially, it's a very fine question to ask, by the way, and it's a very fine conversation to have, because God is doing just fine. Is my relationship, is our culture's relationship, is our world's relationship with God dead? And to the extent that God is dead, we are the ones, as Nietzsche said in the parable, we are the ones who hold the knives, not God. We are the ones who killed God. If we today, in our actions, in our busyness, in what we have, in our lists that we got to get done, in the work we do, in the people with which we, commune, if any of those things are killing our relationship with God, Jesus would look at us and say, why are you doing it? You're severing your very lifeblood and your very self. And yeah, maybe there will be laws that come up because of the hardness of your heart that allow you to do what you're doing, but you're severing your very being. You're taking that life, which is that purpose, that very essence for which you are made, and you are throwing it out. But I won't stop just at that. Then I will go to ourselves, okay? That idea of, okay, let's say we keep our relationship with God. We're good, checkpoint number one. But I'm not going to be true to who I am as a human being and how I'm made and for what I'm made. And I'm going to try to be like you. Because I can look at you and say, wow, the way that person lives, it looks so beautiful. I just want to be another person like that. And I'm going to imitate and emulate you, as wonderful as that is. But in doing that, I leave behind my own voice, my own ideas, my own uniqueness, my own abilities, my own gifts, my own way of encountering the world, my own way of engaging with the world. And as good as you might do it, if I'm trying to be like you, I'm leaving behind those things which are also good, and the world is less full without that. I was listening to a podcast yesterday. I'll use this example of the Enneagram. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Enneagram. I'm a firm believer in it, and I love it. Essentially, the Enneagram, and I'll give you like a one-minute version, which is totally lacking. But essentially, that there are 9 personality types. It's not like the Myers-Briggs. It's deeper than that, I would say, which I also love the Myers-Briggs. But there are 9 ways that which we encounter ourselves and encounter the world. In fact, I am a 9. I am a connector, is what that is. And to be this, it. The more I learn about what that means to be a 9 is the more it brings what those virtues are in being a 9, but what also my blind spots are with being a 9. And it helps me understand, oh, that's why I did what I did then. That's why I feel this way in certain circumstances. That's why I do this. It's a wonderful instrument to help me understand myself and help me understand those around me, by the way. But the point is, I can look at being this 9, and all the gifts, by the way, we need every one of these. It's not like 9s are best and those 3s, oh, they're awful. No, that's not it at all. It's the mosaic idea. Nines bring a certain gift to the table, but they also bring a certain blind spot. And threes bring a certain gift, and sixes bring one, and et cetera, every way around there. And it's only when we are all acting as we are created in who we are that the kingdom of God fully is made whole here on earth. And to the extent I look at you and say, okay, I want to be like, you know, Ginger over here, who's a seven, and I want to live in that way because she lives it so beautifully, I leave behind my very being. I leave behind all these things that I am. Brothers and sisters, we need to know who we are and how we are made. And the more we can do that, the more we can live that well into the world. And we can only do that in God because we are made in and for and of God. We cannot be fully who we are and know who we are fully without, that relationship with God, which is why I start there, and then I go to us. My dogs are just nonstop today. God love you. You're just, it's like white noise to me in the background, and so I hope it becomes for you too. All right. So, that's that part. And then the part of, the other, right? Creation. Again, we are called to love all of creation. And Jesus uses this great and prime love, which is our spouse. But that's not the only thing. This is not just about divorce here. I mean, it also, we could talk about our families, our children, our parents, our siblings. But we don't have to stop there. I mean, we could multiply and keep going and keep going and keep going. Ultimately, the world, how we cannot separate ourselves from one another. And brothers and sisters, if we live in anything right now, we live in a world of separation and division. And that's where, as Jesus' words warn us, if by the hardness of our hearts, we seek division, we are going to commit, quote unquote, sin. To be in sin, I mean, it's often, brothers and sisters, it's easy to think of sin in just a minimalistic way. Okay, I stole something from you, therefore I, quote unquote, sinned. The word carries such connotations that I'm like, I think it's lost its meaning. And if I lie to you, I sin. And of course, those things are true, by the way. But it's like we tick off the Ten Commandments and say, okay, did I do this or that? And, did I sin or not? And whatever. I would say, brothers and sisters, any time we are living apart from God and too busy to be a part of, open ourselves to God's life and love within us, anytime we are living apart from who we are created to be, anytime we are living apart from a community of people and separate ourselves, we are living in dysfunction. We are living outside of the harmony of God, outside of the kingdom of God, outside the relationship, the way of God in the world. And that is quote-unquote sin. To sin or to lie to somebody is merely a response to that living already outside of that community. It's much deeper than that. We choose to live within that harmony or without, outside of it. And Jesus is saying, there's no outside of it. There is no outside of it. And so, brothers and sisters, I mean, the easy thing I'll look at, and this is just an example, I'm not trying to influence anybody in saying this, but, the situation of immigration, it's a hot topic in the United States, especially in an election year. And these immigrants are coming over the border, and they're not doing so in the proper way. They're coming over illegally, and they're coming over in high numbers. And listen, a country has a right to enforce its borders. There's no doubt about that. I don't want to say no to that. But we can say to the extent that we say no to people and not understand the reason for which they're coming or whatever, I'm saying no in a sense to some of this creation. Now, that does not mean, brothers and sisters, and again, I'm not trying to get political, but it does not mean we don't need to reform and somehow make this a structured thing. I mean, again, a country needs to have borders. But how do I say yes in love to these people who are fleeing something that is absolutely worth fleeing? How do I say yes to what they are looking for, but way in a way that also says yes to the people living in this country. Now, that's the harder question to ask, not just building a wall or not just saying come over free flow. How what's the nuanced way to love on both sides here? Because we are called to love and not sever this whole idea of creation and call to love one another, because to the extent I sever whatever that other is in my life, and I just use that as an example, throw it out if it's not helpful, put in another one. But to the extent we sever that, we are living outside of God's plan, and that's where Jesus is pointing us. Now, you see why I didn't even get to the children part of this? I mean, there's so much there, and I've gone on further than I needed to. But this is so good, and everything Jesus is saying is true, and everything in these creation stories is true. We are made for a relationship. We are made for a relationship with God. We are made for a relationship with ourselves to be fully who we are meant and created to be in our uniqueness and beauty, and we are made to live in harmony in relationship with one another in creation and all of creation. May we say yes to that today and not no. May we say yes to union in the best way we can and not no. Let's take all of this, my friends, to prayer. So we begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The first glorious mystery. Jesus rises from the dead. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If you made it this far, bless you. This was a long one. Oh, God bless you all. Thanks again, as always, for being with me. May your week be filled with every good joy.